We believe in you. And we know you're the God of miracles. And not only are you the God of miracles, you're our Heavenly Father. We cry out to you, Abba, our Daddy. Father, we're so glad to be your sons and your daughters tonight. As we stand before the Word of God, we do so, Father, with your authority, Father God, knowing that you've got a plan and a purpose for your Word on tonight. And Father, we know it says in Isaiah 55, you direct your word and your word never comes back void from whence you send your word. And so tonight, as you feed your people and as you send your word, we thank you that you've got the power to cause this word to prevail in the lives of all who are listening. Those who are listening live over the live stream, those who are listening through another venue, those who are here in this live service, you've got the power to cause your word to prevail in our lives. So we thank you for the good word of God tonight. And we say we'll be changed by the word. We won't be the same after listening to the word of God. Won't be the same. We'll be changed by the mighty word of God. Not only that, Father, we'll be active listeners tonight, not bumps on a log, active listeners to your word. Where you tell us to change, we'll change. What you tell us to do, we'll do. Father God, correct us, help us, direct us, whatever the need is. Speak to your people. Speak a word to every situation represented. Speak a word to every individual listening, Father God. May your word, Father, overflow. We mix your word with faith on tonight. We mix the mighty word with faith, knowing that the word is alive. It's quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint and marrow. Your word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so we thank you, bless you, honor you, sir, all that'll be wrought in our midst. One more thing, Father, continue as was prayed. Continue to bless our pastors, give them rest, refresh them, renew them. All those who are in Oklahoma City with Pastor Tad, bless, protect, use, guard them. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all of the glory, the honor, and praise for everything in our midst that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God. Hey, can we thank Dan and the team? We appreciate anointed singers, anointed band. We appreciate every one of you leading us into the very presence of God. Hallelujah. You can have your seat turned. Got your Bible turned to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll start at verse 18 on tonight. Proverbs 16, we're going to start at verse 18. And let me just say, the story is told of a man who was about to speak. He was getting ready to speak, and the MC was introducing him. And he was sitting there next to his wife as the MC was waxing eloquent about all of his accolades and things he had done. He had a long resume. And while the MC was going through his litany of things he had accomplished, and he leaned over, whispered to his wife, he said, "You know, I wonder, you know, how many great men there are in the world." And his wife didn't say anything, you know, and the guy kept sharing his accolades, introducing him, and as he was doing that, the man, he's about to speak, but he reached over to his wife again. He said, "You know, I just wonder, you know, I'm one of so many great men. I wonder just how many great men could there be?" She was getting a little irritated with her hubby, and he waxed on and asked her again, and finally she said, "I don't know, but there's one less great man than you think there is." So she answered his question. You know, tonight we asked the Lord, we had a nice quick sermon that we thought would fit here tonight, and not that this won't be quick, I don't know, I don't make any promises, we just want to do God's will, but I will tell you that I had a nice sermon that I thought would fit very perfectly into a 15-minute sermon, and thought that the Lord would so graciously approve my idea. But I found upon prayer that he rejected my idea. And so we have come to the word of the Lord as he directed me to speak. Brother Marvin is trying to tell me something, though. What is that? Oh, man. Okay. So so here we are. Tonight, the Lord has directed us to speak on this subject. We're going to talk about humility tonight. Power of humility tonight. Humility is a subject that is apropos for every believer of Jesus Christ. Starting here in Proverbs chapter 16 then, Proverbs 16 and verse 18, I think I told you to go. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before stumbling. You want to see somebody who's about to stumble, follow somebody who's full of pride. And you know, humility is something that affects every aspect of our lives. You know, we just got done worshiping God. You know, pride can hinder you from worshiping God right. You know, when the Spirit of the Lord moves upon you and you just feel like you're supposed to run and something, and you said, no, don't run. People be looking at you. People think you crazy. You know what that really is? That's pride. When the Lord tells you, just lay out prostrate before me and worship me. And you say, oh, people would think I was a nut. You know what that is? That's pride. When the Spirit of the Lord is moving and he moves on you to move your feet and to dance for the goodness of God to you, and you keep your feet still, you do everything to keep your feet still. You know what that is? That's just foolish pride. Don't ever let pride keep you from worshiping your Lord. God has been so good to you. Amen. What if Jesus hadn't accomplished all that he had accomplished? What if Jesus said, I'm not going to any cross. I'm not going to suffer that way. I'm the King of Kings. After all, I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm not going to do that. No, he humbled himself. The Bible says he suffered the death of even the death on a cross for you and I. He humbled himself. He's the humble servant. Amen. I said, don't let anything or anybody keep you from worshiping and reverencing God. God has been good to you. And you ought not let any rocks cry out for you. And if rocks have to cry out to praise God because you won't, then that's just pride. I said, I wish I had an amen. Amen. But you know, when you come into the house of the Lord or when you're in your own house, you ought to just forget about everybody around you. Forget about what somebody is saying or what somebody's going to think. And you just worship God in your own way, in your own accord. I said, I wish I had one amen in here. And sometimes you see somebody running, jumping, stopping, and you say, well, is all that necessary? Well, you don't know what God has done in that person's life. You don't know how good what God bought. God might have bought their feet out of the miry clay. God might have set them up on a rock. They were about to drown. God put them up on a rock and they're blessing the Lord. Amen. Amen. I wish I could get one amen in here. Amen. But the Lord is good, and we ought not let pride affect us in worship. Talking about humility tonight. Over in Proverbs 25 and verse 9. Proverbs 25 and verse 9. Actually, let's start at verse 6. Do not claim honor in the presence of the king. Do not stand in the place of great men, for it is better that it be said of you, come up here, than for you to be placed lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Do not go out hastily to argue your case, otherwise what will you do in the end when your neighbor humiliates you? Argue your case with your neighbor. Do not reveal a secret to another. When God speaks to you, sometimes God can give you direction and wants to help you solve things and solve situations. And sometimes God, you have conflict with somebody and God may tell you, hey, look, just go and talk to him. And you don't want to do that. You know what that is? That's just foolish pride. Sometimes when you have conflict with a brother and sister in Christ, sometimes we just handle it this way. We just say, well, you know what? I ain't going to talk to you no more. Or, you know, you sit over there on that side of church, I'll sit on this side. Now, if I see you on that side of the street, I'll go on the other side of the street. But how many know that's not love? No. That's just pride. And pride will really keep us from experiencing the blessings that God has intended and provided for us. God's provided so many blessings for us. And look, God wants for you and I to follow him humbly. So go with me to James 4:10 real quick. James 4:10. Let me just say this about humility. James 4:10. The best thing we can do is learn to humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves, I tell you, that is the best way. That is the best way because we're going to see tonight how God can humble us if he needs to. How many know God can humble you? Amen. Anybody ever had the Lord humble them? Look, if the what God tells you and I to do about humility, he tells you and I to humble ourselves. And that's a wonderful way. That's the best way. I said, I wish I had one amen there. But every now and then a man or woman will humble themselves, and God knows how to humble us if we don't. But in James 4, 10, it says this, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will what? He will exalt you. If we humble ourselves in his presence, then he will exalt us. So in our time tonight, I want to say essentially three things to you. Humility that will cause you to seek his face, number one. Number two, humility that will cause you to stay under his hand. Number one, seek his face. Number two, stay under his hand. Number three, see other people as more important than yourself. That's where we're going. I'll show you all my cards early. I just put my cards on the table there. We're going to talk about humility in three areas. Number one, to seek his face. Number two, to stay under his hand. Number three, to see others as more important than ourselves. Are you with me there? All right, first let's talk about seek his face. Humility is as in regards to seek his face, because when we're talking about that, talking about seeking his face, now we're talking about our vertical relationship with God. Turn to 2 Chronicles with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. We're talking about now seeking his face, then staying under his hand, and then seeing others as more important than ourselves. When we're talking about seeking his face, we're talking about our vertical relationship with God. When we're talking about staying under his hand, we're talking about our positional relationship with the Lord. And when we're talking about seeing others as more important than ourselves, we're talking about our horizontal relationship with other people. But here, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14, the Lord says, "And my people who are called," and I'm reading all these in New American Standard, by the way, "and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." And so God spoke that to his people. He speaks that powerful word to the church today. And you know, the Bible says, listen, it's time for judgment to begin at the house of God. When God starts with judgment, we ought to remember, hey, that's when judgment starts, it starts at his house first. God cleans his house first. And the thing he's saying here, look, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, there it is again. If we'll humble ourselves, that's the first thing. Humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. Now, you know, when we seek his face, it means that, you know, we're not necessarily after what he can do for us. We're not just, now there's nothing, you know, the Lord knows that we need things from him. He knows that we live in this earth, in this world, and we need things. And so we should pray. He's told us how to do that, how to pray and believe him. Not a thing wrong with that. But there are times when we should just come into his presence to seek his face. There are times in all of our lives when our only goal should be, I just want to spend time with you. I'm not looking for something from you. I just want to be in your presence tonight. And he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. You know, when he says, if they will turn from their wicked ways, that's another way of saying, if my people will repent. How many know repentance is a good thing? And for you and I as believers, God has provided a way for us to make it right if we've done wrong or whatever. You know, we've got that spiritual bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad? Anybody glad that's in the Bible?
Amen.
But God tells you and I, humble ourselves, pray, seek his face. And you know, when we seek the face of the Lord, listen, he'll give us direction. Here he said, when my people do that, that he said, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. Amen. But sometimes we have to make sure that things are right vertically between us and God, that there's no issues between us and the Lord, that there's no fatted calf, or there's no idol, nothing, no wedge between us and the Lord. Because if there's anything between us and him vertically, how many know that's not going to go good? God's going to work on us till we get that out of there. And so the first thing we have to do is just humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. So many people today seek his hand. The only time they go to seek God is when they want something from God. There's nothing wrong with wanting something from God and believing God. I'm sure we all do that. There's not a thing wrong with that. But if that's the only time you ever go to God, something's wrong with that. You ought to have some time in your life when you just say, Lord, I'm just coming to seek your face. I'm just coming to humble myself. Said, I wish I had an amen.
Amen.
Because in that environment, if we're wrong somewhere, if we've gotten off somewhere, when we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, he can correct us real easy. I said amen.
Amen.
But see, if we don't humble ourselves, then it's hard. God's trying to get our attention. God's trying to tell us to turn around. God's trying to get us to repent. We just keep on moving. But you might be hindering your own blessing if you don't stop and get this first point. Humility that will cause you to seek his face. Seek his face. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then turn. You know, that's what repentance is. Repentance means we turn. When you're done wrong, you turn from it. You can't get no amen teaching on this subject tonight. Brother Marvin, the people have gone to sleep. Oh, Brother Marvin, wake up. Brother Marvin, no. I'm just kidding. Now listen to me. Listen to me though. But listen, repentance is very, very important to you and I as believers. And when we do wrong, if we don't repent, the next thing that happens is we get calloused. And when we get calloused, we get less sensitive. And then it's harder and harder and harder to hear what the Lord's trying to deal with us about. And the Lord can just be talking to you, just talking to you. You don't hear nothing. You got calluses from refusing to repent. I said, amen. I said, every husband, when he's wrong, ought to repent. You can't get no amen when you teach like that. Every wife, when she's wrong, ought to repent. You did something to your friend or to your neighbor. If you did something wrong, listen, don't just be dragging it. Some people, they do wrong and then they drag it out over days and hours and weeks. They just drag and drag. Listen, the Bible, we should be quick to repent. And we ought to be quick to forgive. I said, that's the way of blessing. Somebody said, well, I'm wondering why God's not doing this or why God's not doing that. You might check up on yourself in that area. How quick are you to repent? How quick are you to forgive? And sometimes when people do something to us, Christians today, we hold what I call a Christian grudge. You understand what I mean by that? We say all the right stuff. Oh yeah, I forgive you. Stay away from me. I ain't gonna never forget it. Wait a minute now. You know, when you forgive somebody, you have to restore them. If there's no restoration, there's no forgiveness. Can't get no amen teaching on this subject. When you forgive somebody, you have to forget about what they did. That means you stop entertaining it. I wish I had one amen over here. You stop entertaining it. Amen. Forgiveness. The Bible says, look, we are to forgive like Jesus forgave us. Aren't you glad he doesn't see us in the light of our sin?
Amen.
Aren't you glad he sees us through the blood?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Somebody said, go on, brother, give us another point.
Yeah.
You didn't squeeze all the amen out of that lemon. Seek his face. Seek his face. Listen, humility that will cause you to stay. All these are S, right? Seek, stay, see. Right? Seek his face, stay under his hand, see others as more important than yourself. But now stay. Stay under his hand. 1 Peter chapter 5. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Stay under his hand. This concerns us positionally with the Lord and things, situations, circumstances that we find ourselves in sometimes. I like verse 5. We're going to verse 6, but I like verse 5, so we'll hit that one while we go. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to who? The proud. But he gives grace to who? The humble. Let's stop right there just for a second. Let's stop right there. You know, that's a powerful scripture. The Bible said there, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And, you know, that's just a good way. That's another good way to walk in humility. that younger brothers in the Lord, that we ought to honor our older brothers in the Lord. The Bible says the same thing about younger women in the Lord, honoring older women in the Lord, there ought to be a certain reverence and respect you show to people who are older than you. You can't get no amen on that subject. Sometimes people treat the elderly with such disregard and disrespect, they just dismiss them. But let me tell you about somebody who's older than you. They have gained wisdom that you ain't got yet. You trying to find your way around the mountain, they already been around that mountain. They got the t-shirt, they got the mug, the t-shirt. And you know, if you'll humble yourself and show courtesy and respect, you can learn a lot from somebody who's older than you. Can't get no amen. And so often we just dismiss elderly people. I've told you so often a little story about a little lady I tried to help in the Memphis airport, you know, and she just started hollering and yelling. I tried to get her bag for her, and you know, but she just said, son, we just live in a day. Today people knock you in the head. I thought you were stealing my bag. I trying to get her bag. You know, she couldn't get it. She tried to get it. She missed it. I went over and said, ma'am, let me get this. Oh! Help me! I'm like, oh, Lord. She said, baby, I'm so sorry. She said, baby, I'm so sorry. She just did a little bit. And she said, I'm so sorry, baby. She said, but, you know, people today will knock you in the head and take your bag. She said, I'm just not used to someone just showing respect like that. So my mama taught me that. My dad, too. I tell you one time, I got off a train in Dallas, a little tram at the airport at DFW, and the two ladies said, where? I was trying to get to my flight. They said, sir, where are you from? I said, where am I from? They said, yeah, where are you from? I said, Oklahoma. They said, we don't ever see a man give his seat up for ladies on a train. We knew you weren't from around here. But chivalry ought not be dead among Christian folk. I wish I could get one amen. And so stay under his hand. Let's go on verse 6, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. That's hard to do sometimes. You ever been there? Sometimes in life you can find yourself in a difficult spot among people that you don't care to be around. They can be on your job. They can be in your neighborhood. They can be anywhere. And the thing about it is, if you're not careful, because people are all different, sometimes people have different personalities, sometimes people can just rub you the wrong way. If you're not careful, you can find yourself, you're saying, Lord, help me, get me out of here, get me away from these people. I don't want to be around those people. And sometimes the Lord will do that. You look up and you've been delivered. But how many know sometimes you look up and you're in the same place with the same people? Saying, Lord, I thought I asked you to deliver me. But there are some things that God will deliver you through. And he will train you and mature you and grow you and help you. And if you'll stay there, he'll bless you. And so often when we get into a tight spot, we up and leave. And sometimes if we would stay there under his mighty hand, he would bless us, and then at the right time, he would move us to that position that he wants us to be in. But sometimes before God moves us to exalt us, to position us for promotion, he places us sometimes in a place that's a kind of a tough spot, and if we'll stay there and be faithful, then God's mighty hand will move us to that place he wants us to be. I wish I had one amen. Sometimes people circumvent the promotion of the Lord. God's trying to promote you, but you won't stay put anywhere. And sometimes the moment the pastor says something that somebody don't like, well, the Lord calleth me to go across the street to church. And the Lord ain't calling you to go nowhere but to sit yourself down in that pew and be humble yourself under God's mighty hand. You can't correct nobody today. They just go to another church. You offer correction to the sheep. They say, well, hallelujah, the Lord leadeth me. Right across the street. Sometimes you have to humble yourself and stay in position and not let yourself get separated from your shepherd. Amen. Ooh, I'm doing a better job teaching this than y'all are saying amen. The job of the shepherd is to protect and to correct sometimes and to keep the sheep off the cliff and off the jagged rocks. And sometimes the shepherd, through his or her teaching, they have to do that. And sometimes that's uncomfortable and people start moving. And listen, if God has placed you somewhere, then stay there faithfully until he really moves you. Because you might be hindering your own promotion. And sometimes I'll go even a little further. Sometimes the Lord says, now look, you're here. Now I want you to go serve in this capacity. Go over there and serve in the children's department. You say, I don't want to do that. My babies are grown. I ain't changing no diaper. I ain't the one. God may be trying to help you. He may be getting ready to promote you. The Lord may tell you, go out there, work in the parking lot. Go usher. Go find a way. Work behind a camera. Go do something. Go offer your services to help the brothers. Go do something to help. And man, I tell you, if you'll get there and stay faithful. Yes. Now see, we got to serve this way. If you never move me, if you never change, if you never do anything different, I'm happy serving. But I notice this about Philip the Evangelist. Well, he's called Philip the Evangelist in Acts chapter 21. But around verse 9 through 11, he's called Philip the Evangelist. But I noticed back down in Acts chapter 6, he was just an ordinary member of church who was waiting on tables. Humbly. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Don't get out of position, my friend. If you find that place called there, it may be uncomfortable. God may have sent you here to school or to church or whatever, and it may be uncomfortable and you may be in a tight spot. But if you'll stay there and be faithful and humble yourself under his mighty hand at the proper season, in due season, in your due time, he will move you and elevate you and put you right where you need to be. Amen. I wish I had one amen. Let's go on. Number 3, see others. Humble yourself so that you'll see other people as more important than yourself. Humble yourself so that you will see other people as more important than yourself. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. The book of Philippians now, chapter 2. Humility to seek. Humility to stay. Humility to see. Now we're talking about our vertical relationship with others. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Now we could close the book and go home. Just, we could just read that verse and go home and say, let's just go home and meditate on that. Somebody said, some people read it like this, regard your pastor as more important than yourself. People say, okay, well, I'm going to honor the pastor. I'll bless the pastor. Say, what about your neighbor? Oh, I'm looking out for number one. I don't care about my neighbor. I'm going to read that one more time. Verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And then the Bible goes on to say, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name. He humbled himself. He's our example. It wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus to do what he did for you. But he did that personally for you. When you are the creator and you take on a robe of flesh, it's humbling. When you created everything and you leave your glory and come here and take on an ordinary human body. And not only that, you're the creator and you let your creation that you created spit on you and mock you and deny you and slap you and spear you and hang you on a cross and beat you to a pulp. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The Bible says we're to regard one another as more important than ourselves. Whatever happened to that novel concept in the body of Christ? Now, most times if you tell people the pastor, most people still have enough, you know, they'll say, okay, well, we'll honor the pastor, but we ain't honor nobody else. You get behind me. Now, the only one we should be telling get behind me is Satan. Get behind me or stay under my feet. But for each other, we ought to regard one another as more important than ourselves. Somebody's in your parking space, you ought to regard them as more important than you. Somebody's in the seat you normally sit in, you ought to regard them as more important than you. You can't get no amen teaching this way. I'm not going to stop. You might as well say amen. We ain't going till you say amen. No, humility. Humility that will cause you to see other people as more important than yourself. The Bible says, humble yourself. And let me just throw this in. Verse 14 says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And if something's making you grumble or dispute, check out. Now, you might as well humble yourself. That means you need humility. You need to fill up. You need to go to the gas station. Fill yourself up on humility. If you complaining, you grumbling, ain't nothing right. They can't get it right. They don't do nothing right. You need humility. You need a good dose of humility. Humility to seek his face. Humility to stay under his hand. Humility to see others as more important. We have so much more we can go, but we just feel led to go one more scripture. And then we'll leave off there, because I tell you, God, if you will listen to the Lord, he will show you exactly what you should do, and he will help you and direct your steps. And such is the case for Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Go there with me real quick. This is our last scripture tonight. Second Kings chapter 20, verse 1. It says this: in those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth with a whole heart, have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your father David, I have heard your prayer, I've seen your tears. Behold, I'll heal you. On the third day, you'll go up to the house of the Lord. I'll add 15 years to your life, and I'll deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. He goes on to tell Isaiah goes on to tell Hezekiah. He tells him, through the word of the Lord, take a cake of figs and put it on that boil. That boil had gotten infected. He told him, go take a cake of figs, put it on that boil, and it will heal. And that's exactly what happened to Hezekiah. God saw his humility. Tonight, God sees your heart. He sees my heart. God can see past our outer skin, past our smiles, past, he can see past when we're faking and fronting. God sees right straight through to our heart. And let me tell you, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, what you need is to just humble yourself. Don't worry about anybody else. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you're not ashamed of me, when I come in my glory with my angels and my Father's glory, he said, I won't be ashamed of you. With every head bowed tonight, anybody here like that? You say, man, I've never received Christ, or I don't know what would happen to me if I die. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Anybody here like that? You say, if I died tonight, I don't know what would happen to me. I'm not sure what would happen to me. Anybody here like that? I don't know if I've received Christ or not. I'm not sure. I'm very unsure about that. I'm uncertain if I should die. You might be here tonight and maybe you know what? I'm not living right. I know how to live right. I've received Christ as my Savior, but Brother Bill, I'm not living right. God knows it. I know it. And God's dealing with me. God's dealing with me tonight. And I want to repent and make it right. Let me see your hand. Say, I know God's dealing with me. Yep, I see your hand. Come on, be humble now. Humble yourself. Here's where you can have pride. I'm going to get pride. You know what? God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know you're not living right. God's trying to help you. He's trying to get something to you. Let me see your hand. You need me to pray for you. You need me to pray for you and get your heart right with God. Let me see. Just lift your hands. You're just saying, God, I'm being honest. I know I'm not right. I know I'm not living right. I don't care who sees what, we're all just one big family, but I'm gonna make it right tonight. Lift your hand. Let God help you. Don't shrug him off. Don't let your pride cause you to get up and walk out the door. That's foolish pride. I see your hand. Don't let foolish pride keep you from getting right with God. The Lord's moving on you. He's been tugging at your heart all service, and you know it. I see your hand. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That is the Holy Spirit. No preacher can do that. A preacher doesn't have the power to do that. That's God Almighty tugging at your heart. And the Bible says this, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's pride. Pride will harden you. Pride will keep you from being blessed. Just lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Lift your hand. Say, I want to go on record. I'm wrong. I know it. I know it. I know I want to get right. I want you to boldly do something. I'm going to count to three. When I count to three, I want you to stand on your feet boldly. I want you to humble yourself in the name of Jesus and just stand on your feet right where you are. One, I want you just to forget about people, forget about situations and circumstance. Two, I want you just to think about the Lord and humble yourself. Three, just stand up on your feet right now. Just stand up on your feet right now, right where you are. Just boldly stand up on your feet. You want to make it right with God. Just boldly stand up on you. That's right. That's right. In Jesus' name. Now come on down here and let me pray for you. Don't worry about people. We love you. We're not going to condemn you. Come on down here. God's going to help you. You're humbling yourself. You're saying, God, I need your help. I need your help. I'm coming for you to help me, God. I'm coming for you to help me. I want your help. I want your help. That's right. That's right. Just come right on. Don't be embarrassed. Come right on. Come on. We're just one family in God. God bless you. God bless you. Just come right on. God bless you. God bless you. Come right on. That's God bless you. Come on. God bless you. Hey, God bless you. Yeah, just come right on. Come right on. Come on. There's room at the altar for everybody. Come on. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, God loves it when his sons and daughters have a humble heart. Oh, look out. His power is getting ready to be demonstrated. When someone humbles themselves, God's power is preparing to flow to you. And he's going to drive out that which has been bothering you, that which has been ailing your body, and that which has been disturbing your mind. God is, through his power, he's going to drive that out. And the enemy that's been harassing you, God is going to take his hands off of you tonight. I want you all just to lift one hand to the Lord. Just lift one hand. We're humbly saying, God, you're my help. You're where my help comes from. Just lift one hand to the Lord. You're saying, that's where my help comes from. I want us all in the congregation and up here, say this prayer after me. Father, I come to you now. In the name of Jesus, I humbly ask you to help me. I repent of my sins and I turn tonight. I'm making a change. I'm asking you for your help. You see me. You see my life. I need your help tonight. You promised me that if I would repent, if I would humble myself, if I would not be ashamed, oh, that you wouldn't be ashamed of me. You promised to help me. You promised to restore me. You promised to forgive me. You promised to cleanse me. And based on your word, I accept your forgiveness right now in the name of Jesus. I accept it. You've wiped my slate clean in Jesus' name. And I will live for you all the days of my life. Now put both hands up and let's praise him and thank him. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for touching every one of them. Thank you for helping every single one of them, Father. Through the mighty name of Jesus, touch every one of them, Father God. Touch them in the name of Jesus. Help them tonight. Thank you for your mighty power being deployed in their behalf tonight. We'll give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Now look at me. Listen to me very carefully. You're going to be so glad you came down here tonight. I know this was a long walk for you, but God is going to make it worth your while. God is going to show you. He is going to demonstrate his power to you, and things are going to change. Things are going to start changing around you, and you'll be able to put that on your calendar and say, hey, I humbled myself. I did what the Lord told me to do, and God is changing things in my life. It's going to change in your physically, health-wise, financially. I see change all over this front row up here. Change. God is going to demonstrate his power, and you're going to see the power of humility. You humbled yourself and came, and your heavenly Father is going to demonstrate his power now to you. So you just be encouraged by the word of the Lord. This is Brother Tracy. He's going to lead you to that place of prayer, give you some free materials, answer any questions. There's a team of folk who are going to be back there, answer any questions you have. We know that it'll give you free materials and anything you need. So you go with Brother Tracy right now, and we are going to pray for you. And God's going to move on you like you never thought before. God bless you. He's going to help you. Come on, let's encourage our brothers and sisters. Come on. Come on, we can do better than that. Do you remember when you had to repent, when you had to turn around? Come on, you can do better than that. We love you. We're not condemning. We're not looking at people with condemnation. We love them. Praise God. Hallelujah. How many remember when you had to walk down the aisle of a church and say, God, I repent. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. And oh man, you follow these people, you're going to follow the blessing of God. You're going to follow the power of God on their lives. You'll be able to mark where they repented and God touched them and used them and helped them in every area. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for helping everybody who goes to the prayer room. Thank you for strengthening them, blessing them, providing for them, giving them all that they need. Thank you for it, Father. Healing in their bodies, blessing in their finances, strength, direction, favor, position them. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.